Okay, does anyone know what this is? That's not a bad guess. Kind of looks like a scroll. Yeah. A roller, very good. Kind of like when you roll a cooking. That's another great guess. Okay. I know there's a few track stars back in the back, maybe some people going to state that might know what this is, but this is a baton. This is what runners use when they're running a relay race, and they're running, and then they'll go, and they'll hand it to the person in front of them, and then they'll run, and then they'll hand it to the next person. When you have a baton in a relay race, you pass it to the next person who is going to finish that race, to keep on going it, kind of like your teammate, the person who is going to help you out, right? During the ascension, Jesus goes away, and you know what he tells his disciples? That they are going to continue and be his witnesses. The ascension is kind of weird. Jesus goes up and he goes away, right? And we're kind of like, why does he do that? But one of the reasons is he's kind of handing the baton to God's people, to the disciples, and to you, and to me, and all of us, so that we go out and we share God's message that Jesus is the Savior, that he died for you, that he rose again, and he's still ruling. The other part of this, though, that makes it a little bit different than a baton is when you, like, if you get past the baton, you have to finish the race, right? You have to try really hard and finish the race. What the ascension means, and what we're going to talk about in our sermon, is that the ascension means Jesus has already won the race. We get to be a part of the race, but Jesus is already victorious, right? He beat sin and death, and he rose again, and so we don't have anything to fear. You can kind of think about, like, have you ever done a project with your dad? Maybe out in the yard, like in the garage, right? And maybe he'll say, hey, can you keep on doing this? Can you work on the yard for a little bit or hammer a little bit? But even though he asks you to do that a little bit, he's going to come back and he's going to finish the work. That's kind of what we're going to hear. Jesus gives believers, Christians, the baton to go and share his message. But the ascension, he tells us he's going to come back. He's reigning. He's won the race for us. And one day, he's going to come back and bring us all to be with him in heaven. So pretty cool to see that even though Jesus has ascended into heaven, we know he's victorious, and he's also given us a mission. He's given us the baton to go share about Jesus and the gospel. All right? So why don't we say a prayer about that? Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending Jesus to be our Savior. As you ascended into heaven, you gave us the baton to be your messengers, to share about the love of Jesus, that Jesus loves the whole world, that we can carry that baton, but we also know that you have finished the race, that you have forgiven our sins, and one day you'll come back to show that you're King of Kings and to take us back into heaven. We thank you for this, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from Jesus Christ our Lord. If you talk to people who are maybe struggling with Christianity and kind of understanding God, or people who have maybe gone away from believing in a God, a lot of things that they might say is, my Jesus does this. My Jesus would act like this. Or a God I would believe in would do the things this way. People kind of like to craft their own God, their own Savior, their own Jesus, and they struggle to see the Bible as true, as faithful and true, we're going to see. And I think they'd struggle with this picture of Jesus. And I think even as we look at Jesus, sometimes we question and say, why would you ascend into heaven? People wonder and they say, if God really wants us to believe in Jesus, why doesn't he just show us Jesus? Well, we're going to see here that Jesus ascends for a reason. We heard that a little bit in our children's sermon, but we're going to especially see in our text that the ascended Lord is victorious, that he's got his purpose for doing this. But I think one of the good examples of why when people say, well, if Jesus would just show himself, then we would believe. How did that work out when Jesus was alive? As he was teaching and preaching, as he was going about, and as he was doing miracles, what happened? Well, he raised Lazarus from the dead. This was a miracle that people could not deny. Here a man was dead, and now he's alive, and Jesus did it, and people knew it. And what did the chief priests, teachers of the law, want to do? Now we got to kill him. And so we wonder and we say, well, if they would just do it this way, but then we understand God's got his ways, because, well, we struggle. Even the people who saw Jesus struggle. So as we see John here with the vision in Revelation, we see a lot of things about the end times, and he explains a little bit about what Jesus is doing as he's ascended into heaven and what he's going to do as he comes back. The book of Revelation is not always an easy book to read and understand. There's letters to different churches talking about things that are going to happen, that have now happened since it's written. But then there's discussion about the times, the end times, as things get worse. And then especially the judgment day, the end, and pictures of heaven. And today we get a little picture of kind of that end of Jesus returning, and as the angels speak to the disciples and say Jesus will return in the same way, we see a little picture of what he's going to look like as well. And what is he going to look like? But we see here that he's on a white horse. Its rider is called Faithful and True, and he judges and makes war in righteousness. I think one of the important things that we see about Jesus and our God is that he's a victorious Lord, and he's victorious with faithfulness and truth. This is how he conquers. This is how he comes to us. And he's not coming to deceive. He never came to this world to deceive or to get anything for himself. He always spoke the truth. He was faithful in his mission. He didn't waver and go, well, I just want this for my own things. He knew his mission. And he spoke God's word in truth. And it's so important to see that this is what he came to do. That we can have confidence in who Jesus is. And so many people want to devise who God is, and this is my truth, and if God was really this way, he would do it this way. But when we look at God, even if we struggle to understand all the things that Jesus did, what God does in the Bible, we know at the heart of it is the truth. The truth of God and his love for us, and that he created us and he wants us to be with him. And that's what it says here as it continues, as he judges and makes war in righteousness. His eyes are like blazing flames, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on it which no one except he himself knows. He is also clothed in a garment that has been dipped in blood. And his name is the Word of God. The armies in heaven which were clothed with white, clean, fine linen were following him on white horses. As we look at how he is, he's riding on this horse, but it describes his clothing. Now, there's a couple interpretations of what this means. We'll talk about the first one first, and then we'll get to the second one. But as we look at the blood of Christ, or he has this robe of blood, we also know that he goes and he fights the battle, but how has he fought the battle but by a perfect sacrifice? We see that there's no blood on the clothing of the armies of God. There's no clothes on the angels, on the followers, on us believers. We see this in other pictures in Revelation, that we are given white robes. Because of the blood of the Lamb, because of his sacrifice. And he's the one who goes and fights the battle for us. And he sacrificed everything for you and for me. And so when we look at others in the world, what can we do? We can say, Jesus died for you. Jesus gave his perfect life, went to the cross for you. In all that we're looking at, in the struggles of this world, there's going to be an end. And to know that Jesus fought the battle, he sacrificed everything for you, that as we were talking about in the children's sermon, we can't finish that race on our own. We're going to fall short. We're going to stumble. We're not going to carry the baton in a faithful way, in a truthful way. So we know we need that perfect sacrifice of God. And that's what he does, but look at how he does it as well. It says, and his name is the Word of God. John is very amazing in how he writes, and he links things together in Revelation and the Gospel of John and in 1 John, his letters. But if you hear his name being the Word of God, that might ring familiar in the first chapter of John where Jesus is called the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And so how is this ascended Lord still victorious? Well, he's victorious as the Word of God. And as we look at that, we know, well, we have the Word of God, we have the Bible, and Jesus is proclaimed in there so clearly in the New Testament. But I love some of my favorite teachers are people who understand the Old Testament, and they can say, this is where Jesus is spoken about. This is where Jesus is prophesied about in the Old Testament. He's clear in all those sections of Scripture. If you don't see Jesus in the Bible, you're missing the whole point. But the other part of that Word of God, there's a couple more things to think about is we know the Word of God as the Bible, but in Greek, the logos isn't just like the word, but it's kind of the essence of knowledge and the essence of being. It's similar in Chinese, the way they translated logos is Tao. If you've ever heard of Taoism, it's kind of the essence and everything. When we think about Jesus, he's the representation of God. We heard that in our introduction from Hebrews. When God wants to show us who he is, he shows us Jesus. This is his love for us, that he cares for us, but he's also fighting for us. He's fighting this war in righteousness. And out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will shepherd them with an iron staff. We see Jesus as how God interacts with us, and he interacts with us with that Word of God. And notice this other picture, the sharp sword. What do we say that the Word of God, but we hear that the Word of God is living and active, that it cuts to the bone, the marrow, to the soul. Why? Because it's law and gospel. It strikes us down to say we've fallen short. We want to put ourselves first. We struggle day in and day out with sin and selfishness and not understanding God. And that's the law. And he wields that sword, but he also has that gospel, the double-edged sword that tells us as much as we fail and fall short more than we can have ever imagine. The truth is we're more loved and forgiven than you could ever imagine. There's no sin that Jesus didn't die for. And so if you're struggling and you're saying, I just don't deserve God's love, I'm not worthy, this thing is too big, or I'm struggling with this sin, God loves you. You're redeemed. You're forgiven. That's how Jesus is waging this war with law and gospel. And I think it's that important to see that sometimes we like to wage the war with other things in the world, right? And we have to make all the laws in the world, or, you know, Christianity is under attack, so we have to really go out and establish a Christian nation or these other things. That are we doing it, though, with the Word of God? Or are we letting Jesus go and fight the battle, and are we just letting God speak And knowing he is victorious. Knowing though, even though he's not here, he's still fighting the battle for us. He's in charge. Because that's really what we hear at the end here. He himself is going to trample the winepress of the fierce anger of the Lord, of the Almighty God, on his garments and on his thigh. This name is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's important to remember that he is the ascended Lord who's victorious also as the King of Kings. The other picture there of that blood-soaked robe is also one that is harder for us to grasp, but it says that he's waging that war of righteousness. We cry out for justice. We cry out, God, if things aren't fair. As it says there, he's going to trample the winepress with fierce anger. At the end of things, there will be justice. The King of Kings is fighting the battles, and there is a war raging. And I think it's good to see that blood as two things, either his perfect sacrifice, or where many people interpret it, this is the blood of the enemies of the gospel. The enemies of God who deny Christ and want nothing to do with him and oppose Christianity and Christ. And so we say, again, that's hard for us to see or picture. But then we also know we cry out for justice. And we say, God, where is the justice? Evil people get away with this. Things just seem to be getting worse. Or all the questions we have. We continue to pray to God for justice. But the answer is, there might be justice in this world. But we know at the end, there will be. That the King of Kings is fighting the battles, and he will be victorious. And the evil, those who deny him, those who have done things that are heinous, that want nothing to do with God, will see their punishment. And so we see the King of Kings ruling over everything. And this should give us this peace and comfort, even though we don't see him. Even though he's ascended. A few weeks ago when we talked about Easter, we said the resurrection changes everything, because if Jesus defeated sin, death, and the devil, the things that really plague us, then we have nothing to fear. That means the pain of this world, the suffering of this world, the cancers of this world, the unfairness of this world, all those things will be wiped away because Jesus is victorious. The ascension tells us the same thing. That Jesus is victorious and he is going to come back and rule. And so you don't have to fear. Those things that you're struggling with, you pray to God and you know he has them under his control. And so we can put our worries in his hands. Knowing he's faithful and true. Knowing he has given us the perfect sacrifice. He's given us the word of God to go out, and is still that today. But most of all, he is victorious as King of Kings and gives us life eternal. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.